Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine abyss, and I'm reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Well, hello everybody out there in After Rot Line. Today is a world of difference and things going boom, 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 and all that other crap that goes around wherever it's going to go around, because that's what it does. It does that. Now, tonight, we have with us George Todorovsky and Renee Vriens, guest starring with us, talking about stuff and other stuff. Hi, George. Hi, Renee.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Hello.
I am always amazing. How about yourselves?
We're amazing too.
Yes.
Well, that's good. Because what else do you want to be? Not amazing?
Yeah, touche.
Then you'll be just spectacular.
Well, well, it's great to hear from you again. We miss we missed the shows at the flea market and that.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, we miss them too.
Yeah. Great times hanging out, all that kind of stuff. With all the other guests and all that.
Trying to sell stuff to people to actually make something happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, our Kickstarter.
I hear you have a new Kickstarter.
Yes, absolutely. It's for a new comic. This is basically a sci-fi comic book called Zero Point. It takes place only decades after UFO disclosure. Makes it kind of interesting. It does take place in the future. Of course, we don't know how far in the future exactly, because we don't know when that disclosure thing happens. But interestingly timely, though, because if you've been following the news at all, there's going to be some sort of release of documents from the government about UFOs this month, at the end of this month.
Well, there kind of has been some releases over the last 2 years.
Yes, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, in general, there's been releases. Renee and I have been following a lot of stuff for a few years now. So, there's been the occasional releases, but it's only been in 2020 that things have started to be confirmed by the actual Pentagon. So it's only in this month is when they're going to release official government documents. So it's kind of interesting timing that. Just sort of fell into place, I guess, with the release of this book. Because it's being done now.
I read an interesting perspective piece from somebody the other day saying the reason why we've never actually seen any real UFOs around, because all of the UFOs are ghosts. They were here millions of years ago.
That's right. That's an interesting concept.
And
you're seeing sort of their leftover.
Yeah, we're just seeing the after images of the presence here. It's like, whoosh, they were gone, then they were here.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Well, there's a lot of scientists, just to bring something up that's interesting. A lot of scientists that believe that if there is life in the universe, if intelligent life, they might not be around right now. And what I mean by that is the universe is so old and we're relatively new that there could have been many intelligent civilizations around, but they've all gone extinct by now. Or I think so advanced that they're unrecognized, right?
Or so it's one they have these big signs saying, stay away from this place because they're dirty.
Yeah, actually, that's another theory. The fact that we may be quarantined, sort of saying, okay, these people are dangerous, they're messed up. We'll keep our eye on them, and that's why things are flying around. But we're not going to we're not going to interfere too much, and we're certainly not going to let them into the Federation or whatever. We're gonna keep our distance for a while.
I get a kick out of that concept simply because the thing is, like, if I was an intelligent species that had developed interstellar space travel, I really wouldn't care about a younger civilization. I would just come in and I'm a V guy, so it's like, just come in, take all the resources, strip them, do them, whatever.
But that's the other thing, right? Like, if we are being, if we do have aliens flying around, basically, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not, they don't mean any harm, because a lot of people talk about invasion, all these films that are always about that. Because
that just makes films
interesting. Yeah, exactly, right? Because bottom line is, if they were that advanced, they could wipe us out in seconds probably and take whatever they wanted without a second thought. So the fact that they're still zipping around and not doing anything, if indeed they are, because that's what they're trying to find out right now, and they haven't yet, that just shows that that's not their intent. So whatever their intent is, it's not to take over, certainly not hostile, or they would just be like, I mean, they're so advanced, they could come up with something that would just wipe out humans in particular. You know what I mean?
Yes. There's millions of possibilities. I mean, you could use neutron radiation or whatever and just kill all the people and leave everything intact. There's viral attacks. There's gas attacks. Yeah. There's thousands of possibilities. Yeah. So I agree.
The possibilities are endless, and God knows what kind of technologies that they have that we can't even conceive of. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
So bottom line is, that's what would have been the case. So if we are being visited, then there's a chance we are, and that's what what may be coming out, some evidence of that may be coming out soon. Then, yeah, there's no hostile intent as far as you know.
Mind you, they could be hiding their hostile intents and pretending to be all friendly, and then they're just going to slip around and cut it all apart. Or not.
Yeah, that's right. Again, at least expect it.
Yeah, like, but then all the they still haven't done that.
Yeah, this they haven't done it all these years. If you follow like you know ancient aliens and all that, it's like you know they got evidence that they could be visiting us for thousands of years, and they haven't done it yet. They're like going, how about today? Let's flip a coin. Yeah. Okay, not today.
Now that's not even including the possibility of fourth dimensional activity.
Right. Fourth or fifth or even
fourth,
higher.
Fifth, sixth, 100th, whatever you want to go. I mean, there's possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Exactly, which is a perfect segue back into my comic, because it actually also deals with higher dimensional entities. Yeah. So it's not just the solid third dimensional life forms that we get in contact with, but there's also higher dimensional right across the board, right? So that's part of the story as well. So it actually focuses on a character by the name of Caden Porter, who is experimenting in he sort of discovers a higher dimension, dimensional reality. So, and also kind of makes contact with something in there. So that's part of the story as well. So yeah, something. So I don't want to give too much away for the story, but yeah, so that's part of the concept as well. So it deals with sort of it's kind of our foray into a larger universe is a big chunk of it. It's an interesting approach to it as well, because I'm not hiding. In the first issue, I'm thinking about future issues, right? The second issue is also largely done already. So we get a perspective that's not just earthbound. So we do just are just shown things and see things that that earthlings don't even know about yet. So
is the main character this guy with the little round helmet on his head?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. That's Caden Porter. So it's gonna be an interesting book. So we're really excited about it, and the Kickstarter is going pretty great right now. Thank you. Yeah, we're actually have a stretch goal that we're getting very close to. So if anybody wants to help support this Kickstarter, if we reach that goal, which we're literally less than $100 away. Less than $100 away.
What's the stretch goal?
I believe it's $80 or $90 bucks. $80.
60.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't remember. But anyway, left to go. Anyway,
artists to do math.
Yeah, you're asking. Yeah, artists. Yeah, we're not.
Okay, do math. I just need what the stretch goal is, and then I can tell you because I've got it up right now.
No, we're good. We're good. It's less than 100. I know that. Okay, so once you reach that, any new backer and every backer that's there already gets a free print. So everyone gets a free print.
And the prints are pretty, too.
Thank you so much.
I just looked at them. They were pretty.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, actually, Renee inked one of them, too. Number one, right? The first print? It's the first
one. The one with the girl holding the something up in it or trying to touch the...
Yeah, and it's all purpley colors.
Yeah.
So the holographic image. That's actually a character from Zero Point. So, these are official sort of Zero Point prints. That's why they all have a logo on there somewhere and stuff, right? So,
who are some of the other artists who did the other prints?
They are all by me.
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah, I actually am. You probably remember this from when we did shows with you and stuff. I do experiment with different styles quite a bit.
Yes.
So,
We did have that discussion.
Yeah, and thank you, by the way, because I always find that complimentary when people be like, it's like, oh, a lot of cool artists working in this book. Oh, that's all about me. What? I thought these were a compilation of different artists.
Yeah.
So the same thing happened here. You're like, hey, who are the other artists? So I always find that complimentary. It's like, yeah, I do experiment a lot with style.
That's how you grow as an artist, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I look at a lot of art. I mean, I love art for the sake of art, not even just like, hey, I'm going to collect all this stuff, whatever. But I love the idea that different artists have different styles, and then sometimes they experiment with other ones. Like Frank Frazetta, as an example, he has his cartoon style and then his illustrated art style, and they're like different, but they're very clearly both his styles.
You recognize it, but it's different.
But it's different. One's more like washes with inks almost. Exactly. Oh, and he also has his comic book style, which is actually all just inks. Like it's
all brushy, line art and everything.
Fine art. Yeah. Some of that stuff's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Little Abner was one of the old comics that he did that he worked on, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he did a comic.
That's really cartoon.
He did an entire comic book called White Indian. It was a white guy who was raised by a First Nations tribe and became essentially one of the First Nations people in that group. And it was like, it's a pretty good comic book.
Oh, very good. Sounds interesting. I mean, and that was all ink-based work, right? With probably with flat colors.
Yeah, it was all probably just, it was all just line art stuff that I worked on.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, but with one project, of course, with any individual project that I usually tend to do, I do tend to stick to more or less one style for that project.
This was what so I was going to ask.
What's that?
This is what I was going to ask. Is there all of your issues going to be basically the same art style, or are you going to change it up at any point?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. So I do like the idea of changing my styles because I just love to do them, right? So I do have this idea that each issue, including issue zero, which is the first issue, more or less. It is the first issue, but it's issue zero.
Yeah.
It just felt too perfect because, you know, 0 point. Let's start with issue zero, right? So there's a backup story in there, which is in the same style, that just elaborates a little more in the story, the character, one of the characters, actually, elaborates. In the second issue, which I've already done a page for, it's going to be another backup story, which elaborates a little more for another character. But it's going to be done in watercolor with some digital airbrush. So because it's a backup story, I thought, hey, why not do it in a different style? Even though it's kind of, it's still part of the same story, but it's kind of adding something to it. And it's a little bit separate, but it's part of the same universe, but since it's kind of separate from the main story arc, why not use a different style for it, right? And layers. Yeah, and the story itself is very much done in layers that way. So I even like do stuff where I'll jump. I love doing this anyway. But jump back and forth through time in the story as well.
Not Star Trek time travel.
Yeah, and I don't even mean time travel.
Okay.
Time travel may happen. Again, I don't want to give away too much of the story. But it's more in the telling of the story. I'll jump back and forth in time to give
Westworld style time travel.
Come again? Sorry?
Westworld style time travel.
I guess they do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where they have three different timelines going forward, and the story is like, what the hell timeline am I in? I don't know. I'm just following.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. But this is something I've been doing since high school, actually. So it's cool. In my stories. People always, and I remember it's so funny because when I did it, no one was really doing it. So my friends would go, why do you keep jumping in the middle of the story? You always start off in the middle of action. Like, what's going on here? And I'm like going, well, the idea is I'm bringing you into the story in the middle of something really intriguing. And then I do backup story stuff. Like, you know, or I jump back and you see how it led there. I jump forward. And it was at a point where it was done so little in films and it really wasn't done that often that people were confused by the idea and thought it was weird and sometimes didn't even like it that much. And
so now it's like, rather than doing a data dump, you just do a flashback that's a quick exploration of the thing and then bam, you're back into the story.
Exactly, right? Which is very common now. It has been since Tarantino, right? But I was doing this before I saw Tarantino. Tarantino. Yeah. I was in high school, right? So
cool.
So it's odd that that it's become such a staple, but interesting. So it's interesting how people are critiquing it. Some people like it, some people are like, what? And then, well, I mean, some of my friends loved it. Like, it was one of my friends was coming up with ideas similar and stuff, because we're going back and forth with ideas of how to play with time and all this kind of stuff.
I've always been good with it. It's never bothered me. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, you're doing parallel travel. All right.
Yeah, exactly. I've always loved the concept, and I've always loved playing with the way you tell stories and all that kind of stuff, right? So, and same with art. I've always loved playing styles and the way you tell stories, right? So with the art, if you're doing comics, right? So whether it's different mediums, different ways of paneling, different all that stuff. Like, I've even done stuff where there's no panels, where things are more just sort of connected by visuals, and the panels are really just playing different or part of the image almost, like whatever, like there might be tech in the panels or whatever, right? So or like, for example, one thing that came to mind is I have a sort of cool looking panel border that's almost part of the story, in it's almost an extra piece down the sides of the story I did for Heavy Metal Magazine. It looks like it's there for decoration. You're seeing this like tech down the side of the pages on both sides, left and right. But then it's like when you read the story, it's about this sort of collective that is offline in a sense. And then at the end, so at the end, this collective comes online, this sort of neural collective of people, right? And that same tech down the side suddenly lights up, and there's lights everywhere on it, and glowy bits and little electrical things. So you're thinking it's decoration, except that that's actually significant in the story in terms of showing something visually that's showing something that's off and then something that turns on. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So even stuff like that, like little visual motifs like that. And that story actually, is also been republished. The Heavy Metal story is republished in a book, an anthology of mine called The Book.
Which is shown on your Kickstarter at the bottom.
Yeah, so it's literally the title of it, The Book. It's kind of interesting because it's a name I came up with when I was, I wanted to do an anthology when I was 14, I believe it was. And me and my friends were trying to work on the different stories. In my graphic novel, The Book, I start off with this almost biblical sounding intro and outro. Not quite though, but like it sounds, well, I guess it's the religion of comics almost. It's referring to the white of the page being a source of creation, you know, that kind of thing. Intro and outro. And in the original, my original The Book anthology idea, my first story was also that same idea, creating some weird, in the beginning there was nothing or whatever, right? And it was kind of a way for me to start the anthology series, and it was also a biblical sort of reference, but I was going to make it more bizarre and alien. Like, it wasn't referring to, I like my newer idea better, the actual comic itself being part of the religion. The source of creation or whatever.
Source of creation in the beginning.
So I actually used the title, the name The Book. And it's funny because I don't remember what the logo looked like, but I created a new logo for the book. My friend Brian Skeen, he created a logo for it when we were 14, 15 years old, right? We never finished the anthology. One of the projects that just never happened. But when he saw my logo, he goes, hey, that's actually reminiscent of the logo I did. That's awesome to see that. It looks like, I don't even remember it, but who knows? It could have been in there subconsciously, right? So that was kind of cool. So there's a lot of, so it's almost like bringing to fruition a child, you know, I guess,
yeah,
a young, you know, whatever, a childhood's dream, I guess. I don't know how you want to put it. That sounds really funny, but something that I wanted to do when
personal
I
was growth.
Sorry?
Oh, it's all about personal growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically it's something I wanted to do when I was 14 or 15, wasn't able to finish it then, but then finish it later in life. There's even a story actually in there. You were one of the only people that ever picked it out, by the way. You'll remember this in a second, but there's one story in there that I actually drew when I was only 16 years old, drew and wrote when I was 16 years old. It was recolored more recently and relettered using digital editing. was even it was even at a con I had Stephen Bissett interested in publishing it
you mentioned that.
Yeah, Taboo at the time. Yeah. But I was into movies, so doing film, because, you know, I do film as well, and doing live shows with my band and stuff, all that kind of stuff. I was into that so heavily at the time that I kind of didn't get back to him, and I didn't get back to him, and it escalated, and then I didn't get back.
So
I turned him down.
Right? No. You turned him down. Never turn him down.
No, switching it around in the end there, but
yeah,
it was more of a rant, I guess. But anyway, regardless, but I republished it in this book. I always ask people, guess which story I did when I was 16, right? And nobody's ever guessed it except you. You're the only one, I'm not going to say your logic, because then other people will be able to guess it based on your logic.
Exactly. You don't want them to guess my logic. My logic is all over the place.
No, but I'm just saying it was made perfect sense. When you mentioned how you figured it out, I'm not going to say it here. I'll say it after the show, because I don't want people to figure it out. Because I'm curious if anybody else out there can figure it out. But
now you have a challenge.
Yeah, it was very good logic. How you came up with it was very, because you came up with it quick, and then you, just by flipping through it one time, you went, I think it's this one. And they went, yeah, how did you know? And then you just told me as to what made you think that. And yeah, so it still looks pretty good. So that's why a lot of people can't really figure it out. Right? So and they're all different styles. So it's like there's a different style.
Yeah.
So
it's on your Kickstarter page, you've got a couple of example pages from it. And it's like, these are all fairly different. Like I can see influences from one. I can see influences for the other. And I can see influences for these. And I've seen these styles in other types. And it's like, these are cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks so much. Yeah.
So how's your coloring book doing?
The coloring book, the Kickstarter did great, of course, and we've been in lockdown, so we haven't been doing really many shows selling anymore.
And that also leads then into one of the other questions to come out. It's like, okay, well, 15 months now, lockdown. How's business?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of weird. This Kickstarter is doing great, so we're happy with that. In that respect, I guess it's good. But I've been doing some freelance work. I'm also working on
with
Yuri Levetsky.
Yep.
Yuri Levetsky's Octana and Co. number 4. I'm more than half done now, and it's looking fantastic, including Angel RD's coloring, which is beautiful, just gorgeous on this issue. Gorgeous on the first issue, just gorgeous. Yeah. Anyway,
nice.
Just beautiful, beautiful coloring. And so that's coming along really good. He'll be doing a Kickstarter if I get my end of it done by in time. This takes up so much energy and time, right? The Kickstarter. Maybe September, October, hopefully is when he'll be doing the Kickstarter. So
and around that time period, we should be able to have people out in the open again. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I mean, looking at retail opening on June 14th, weekend openings on June 19th, barring any exceptions where they have to push it back. By the way, you can't see it, but I use air quotes a lot on stuff.
Yeah. Understood completely, yeah. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to doing shows again and stuff, so that's going to be good. Mm. And seeing you again.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to being open to customers rather than just going to the back door and doing curbside.
Right. Yeah,
because it's a little hard for people to say, I want a thing on this. And it's like, well, you know, it's kind of hard for me to go all the way back down to get it and then find it. No, that's not what you want. You want it. No, I'm not doing that.
No, that's not good. You should say, I'll tell you what, next time you come here, call me from up here, and then we'll discuss everything you might want. And once I'm on my way up, you're not getting anything else.
Well, the thing what I'm doing is I have a number of customers who do pre-orders, and it's like a lot of stuff with the comic book regular distribution. That stuff is 2 or 3 months in the pipe. I was like, okay, I know what you want. You've ordered this. I'll put it aside. When it comes in, you'll know. Bam.
Yeah.
You can pick it up. So there is a distinct difference, and this has been a trend that has been occurring over the last, 5-10 years now? I mean, with the advent of Kickstarter projects and GoFundMes and all these other social platforms, you're putting out your comic one issue at a time based on this platform. Yuri's doing the same thing. A number of other Coffin Comics, Brian Polito holy crap, the amount of money he makes on that. And there's a wide range of people doing this exact same thing. And then here I am from the traditional comic book thing where it's like it comes through every Wednesday, da 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 da. Do you see the lot more of this happening with individual comic creators and things doing this on their own process?
You know, it's strange. And I don't know what this will mean for, I know what it might mean for larger comic companies and stuff, but I don't know. It's interesting, or what exactly would it mean. And also, I'm not sure what it would mean for stores, but I do see, and I said this a while ago, actually, I do see it moving towards that, like self-published, self-creator-owned works.
Right.
Through the internet, through stuff like Kickstarter funding, and in many ways, it's there's a philosophy, I guess you could almost say, that's almost healthier or better about that idea, because then it's more about it's not about the company, what this big corporate company chooses should sell, and this is what's good, guys. Have a look at this, right? Instead, it's about let's see what's out there. And then, like, individuals can just go and surf and go, hey, this project looks great. Let's fund this, right? Let's, I want this comic. I want this artwork. I want whatever, right? And I think it's much better, but there's no reason why retail should be harmed as long as they continue to take retailers into account. And so, what I mean by that is we have a retailer reward. And so as long as they keep doing that, and people always have something for the retailers that's more affordable, that makes sense for retailers and all that kind of stuff, then I think it could create a whole different network of how things get out there and all that. But I'm not sure, because like I mean people are always saying about some of the big companies falling apart and all this kind of stuff. I think I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, depending on how things change, because you can never predict. You know, it's pretty mercurial how things can change.
Very much.
But
so.
But I very much do see more and more creator-owned sort of stuff. So I don't know if Marvel or DC would be more like somehow cater to that to a certain extent, or maybe it'll break down into smaller parts. Or
I suspect it's going to be a while before they break down into any other change. And it's like even Image, which started as a creator-owned platform, has moved more to the Marvel DC mentality than they have before. Well, did you ever hear about the lawsuit they had with Neil Gaiman?
No.
Okay. So for Spawn number 9, they introduced the character Angela.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Oh. I might have heard a little bit about this, but I don't remember about it. Do go on.
I won't go into it too much, but that was a Neil Gaiman character, and he approached Image saying, hey, it's my character. I want to sell it off to somebody else. I'm just letting you know, blah, blah, blah. Image said, no, you can't do that. So then it became a lawsuit between the two.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's okay.
Yeah, because...
But if the whole idea is Image creator owned...
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, I like the idea of... Because the thing is, as an individual artist running your own thing, you own the property. Like, it's all yours. Yeah. And you have complete control on it. And if you want to experiment by going completely way out left field, if that's what you want to do, you can do that. Whereas if you were part of Marvel DC, you couldn't, because they have a set standard that you cannot get out of. Like, they have continuity rules, and they have all these other things. Like, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this. But if you want to, as your own thing, do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I
I do like that idea, just as an artist and writer and whatnot. But to create our own stuff and own it, do whatever. Properties, but I do see it moving now. That's the thing, and I think it's because probably it's just people. It stems all the way back to, I guess, Kirby. I mean, Kirby is a total advocate of rights and all that.
Yep.
But it's something that it's almost a long time coming, right? It's if it started back then, why is it taking so long? It's more if you want to look at it more.
I think one of the reasons is because more and more people are being able to succeed at it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. But so basically, it's these like-minded people who believe in that, starting with King Kirby himself,
who never owned the rights to any of his material, which sucked.
That's horrible. That's just that man was a genius. But
that man was God in the way of artwork.
A lot of work he's left for us. Oh my God. Anyway, he's like, I feel like I get more and more into him every day. It's like,
well, we got the Eternals movie coming out soon.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, me too. The trailer looks really good. But anyway, so I think things move that way, and I think they probably are moving more and more that way. Again, I'm not sure what's going to happen with larger, unless they stick to other, like the film industries and all that kind of stuff. But even, I'll even say further down the road, you're going to get more and more. I mean, you're getting these fan movies, fan made films.
Yep.
That are looking more and more like real films. Like, it's insane how close some of them. Yeah.
There's the Star Trek one.
Yeah. There's been a couple actually that are pretty good, but it's crazy. There's been a few Star Wars sort of like storylines as well. There was one with Han Solo that wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. Starring actually one of the actors was the guy who plays played Abe Sapien in the also in Star Trek. It was also in the new Star Trek theme.
Nice.
On the Discovery. Yeah.
And one of the other things that's opening up avenues there is companies like Netflix and Amazon and Apple TV and whatever trying to get new content to create. I mean, there's a new show on Netflix called Sweet Tooth that just came out this week, and that's based on a...
I bought the first couple of issues.
I'm looking forward to that one, to seeing that one, because I've been following that book from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure, I watched the first four episodes yesterday, so I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And nice, the kid that got doing it, perfect guy.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks well filmed. It looks, the mood feels good. Like, it looks like it's going to be really good.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
Just the options open up so many possibilities and so many different ways to approach things, which is just cool as hell.
Yeah, I'm going to be touching a little bit on some of these concepts in the story, actually, back to the comic. I got so many ideas for this book. I have no idea how I'm going to cram them all in. But matter of fact, second issue, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a double issue. Like, how do I fit that all in? I guess
big is the first issue? Like, how many pages is it?
Well, the first issue is not that big, because it's issue zero. It's standard. It's standard. 28 pages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Including the cover.
Right.
And it's beautifully printed, like, full glossy color. But, it's about 28 pages. It's more of an intro to everything, but it does give you a sense of what's going on to a certain degree and some insight.
So it sets a tone.
Absolutely.
And I'm assuming there's no advertising.
There's one little ad in the back to talk about the next issue.
Yeah, there's an ad in the back that shows a part of a larger panel from the next issue.
Yeah.
Nice.
One of those don't miss next issues.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
So you get a
next
preview.
Issue.
I'm going to hopefully do that for every. As long as I stay ahead of the game, I'll have something to put in there.
Exactly.
So, which is my plan. My plan is to get most of the next issue done, or at least a chunk of it, before I release the next one. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, so before I release number two, I'll have issue zero. Yeah. It confuses me all the time. But anyway, when we do the Kickstarter for issue one, then hopefully by then at least half of issue three will be done, if not the whole issue, right? So
nice.
And then or at least a chunk of it, right? And then we can put an ad for the next one in there. But yeah, there's a lot of too many ideas that I've got for this. So it's so one of the ideas is the whole idea of generating, a lot of people will be generating their own entertainment for friends, like using certain programs, movies, all that kind of stuff. So I'm touching on some of those ideas at some point, hopefully. Yeah. I don't know when, but that just popped in my head. Like, oh, there's something I want to put in there.
Now, are you going to collect it together when you get enough and put it in a trade paperback or a graphic novel style?
Eventually, it will be. Eventually. Yeah. Definitely. There's a lot. The only thing I'm worried about that, this is more of a logistical sort of thing. I know they do have good binding that really opens the page wide, but I'm really enjoying double page spread, so where a comic is across both pages. Like, not necessarily one picture, but like a comic thing.
Yeah, if you were to take the staples out and actually take the page out, you would actually see a single page, and it would be large.
Panels all the way across.
Yeah.
Like you read from top to bottom, but going across both pages. Like it's designed that way. Right? So sometimes it is like almost a full page drawing anyway. Yeah. But other times it's like, you know, panels all the way across, or just really big panels. So I've been really enjoying that idea. So trade paperback. If it's too many issues in one, it's hard to, you miss a lot in the middle, but depending, of course, on, I mean, literally, I've actually given this thought, figuring that far ahead. But
good.
But I know they have like ones where it has that really nice eye, you know, like from the, you know, I'm talking about the, where you open, the book opens and there's like the end of the book and then the pages are are in.
Oh, yeah.
Arched in. And it's a really big eye. That means it's really open and you can really see the middle of each page kind of thing. Like there's ways of printing you can get that. And actually, to be honest, the printing on it's sort of the stitching type of printing. There's different ways of doing it. There's the gluing, there's the stitching. For the book, it seems like you can open it pretty wide and every page. And that's 112 pages right there, right?
Nice.
So using that technique might work. So it depends on what technique I choose or how many.
You can always go with three ring binder style.
Yeah.
I'm giggling, of course.
On a Xerox copier too.
They have those.
Yeah. The old style zines.
Yeah, people, there's pro stuff sort of done that way some time.
I have another friend who does a punk style magazine like that. She's up to about 24 issues, whatever, and she does it like Xerox copy style.
Well, there you go. And there's also an artist, there's a channel that I watch called, from time to time, called Cartoonist Kayfabe. Jim Rugg, I think, is the name of the guy. He's got.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show, actually. I recommend it. Artist Kayfabe. Cartoonist. That's it. Cartoonist Kayfabe. That's what it is. Okay. Anyway, so they promote, they review books, and they look. It's really cool because they do in depth looks at comics and graphic novels. They did actually Beer Windsor Smith's new epic masterpiece work there. It was called Monster or Monsters. What a monster!
Right? Well, there's so many things called monsters.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I remember thinking that too, but just. Seems to work for this, but anyway, so they show some of their stuff usually at the beginning of the show, like they promote their own work before they get into, and they get pretty heavily into the stuff too, which is kind of cool, like in the books they show and stuff. Jim Rugg, I believe that's the guy, because there's two guys.
Cool.
He has a book that he's selling that's based on his drawings that he did with pen, like colored pens, like pen artwork.
Yep.
And really, some of it's really nice. Like, some of it gets pretty realistic and all that kind of stuff. It's, you spend a lot of time, ballpoint pens, that those kind of pens. Like writing pens, you know.
Yeah, light pens.
Yeah, not the kind that I ink with, but like the kind you write.
Right.
Oh, ballpoint.
Yeah.
Ballpoint, right?
Yeah, ballpoint.
Yeah, ballpoints.
Anyway, sorry, was that?
No, that's fine. I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Anyway, he's got a book out where it's those drawings, but it's in a ring, and it looks perfect because it looks like someone's notebook that they're just drawing in their own pens, right? Like, and it really looks like someone's notebook, like on cam. Maybe in real life, when you look at it, it looks more printed. And they've got lines on every page, so they got like the so they have like so it's printed
like guidelines.
The line, notepaper line.
Oh, okay, so regular three-ring page binder note lines that have a lot.
I don't know why this was so hard to explain, but it was apparently. So basically, standard. Yeah, we understand it now. Paper, and so it really looks like there's somebody's notebook with all the standard way it looks with drawings inside it, but it's printed and he's selling them, and I'm just like that's really cool. Like that's a cool concept.
Nice.
So that's one where the ring binding works really well. Right?
See, everybody's thought of at least one thing before somewhere, and somebody else is doing it.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's how it seems to go.
Yeah. So is
or
everyone,
dozens of things. That,
yes, so many things. I mean, we took the entirety of existence from the beginning of 0 years and, 16.7 billion years, I think you were. Sorry, 13.77 billion years.
That's right. We've been around for 13.77 billion years.
Yeah.
Give or take a couple.
Give or take a few million. But that's the most, that's the current most accurate estimate. And that's why I used it in my ad. 13.77 billion years in the making. We've been having a ball with the advertisement too for 0 point. I've been doing some of my impressions. Have you seen some of those? Or
I've seen some of your Facebook posts. Yes.
Yeah. Have you checked out any of the ones with the impressions that I do? My friends keep telling me that I should do some videos using impressions because I do imitations of people.
Well, yes. You should do the impressions videos. Yes.
Yeah. No, I did for. I've done a few, and I did, and I actually did a few ads for 0 point, where I've got Arnold Schwarzenegger and. Vin Diesel.
I was just about to say, is everyone talking about it, like Vin Diesel in this little video on the top of your page?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's yeah, you got to check that out when you get a chance. I don't know. I guess we'd be stalling this interview if we check it out now. Would the sound come through?
Have you seen this new comic, Zero Fun?
So I'm here to tell you about this amazing new comic book. It's called Zero Point.
What can I say? The book is called Zero Point, and it's fantastic. I must support this Kickstarter.
Support our fellow Canadians. Support Canadian talent. Support Zero Point.
Zero Point is a fantastic new comic book, and it's by artist George Todorovsky.
Zero Point, and it looks really good.
It's a comic. Zero. Me and my cat, we love to read comics, and one of the very good comics right now that I'm supporting on Kickstarter is Zero Point.
I'd love to act in it if it became a movie. Zero.
Yeah, it's a really cool-looking comic. It's got, like, aliens and deals with higher dimensions and stuff.
Yeah.
So are you reaching out and approaching and supporting anybody else doing stuff right now?
Yeah, we've, Staunch Ambition.
Yeah, Brian Lau.
From Brian Lau. Mm-hmm. I've always thought the book looked really cool, and I just got the first, he just finished, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen ads or whatever, but... Yeah. And it always looked pretty cool from what I've seen of it. It was actually introduced to me by Jay Clark.
Nice.
He actually compared some of that to some of my work, right? So, because I do different styles, but it's more reminiscent of some of my painterly stuff, I guess, because they go a bit painterly looking. Yeah, the art looks really cool. The concept sounds interesting from what I've seen so far. It sounds pretty cool. So Jay Clark even mentioned it in when I did what was that for the Kickstarter was
for your that's
book?
The book, yeah.
Was it
no, it was for your art, for your design.
Oh yeah, sci-fi design, right. My sci-fi design art book.
It's not the Jay Ark Clark. Of the Covenant, because that's a whole
Covenant, but the sci-fi design art.
Yes.
So Jay Clark, I got Jay Clark to do the video for it, to talk about it and all that, to help sell it on Kickstarter video. Great guy, Jay Clark. Awesome dude. Hey, Jay, just in case you're listening to this.
At some point, he will.
Yeah. But he mentioned Staunch Ambition because to him, that's another really quality book. So, Staunch Ambition and Neon Black is another one he mentioned.
Wait, Neon Black, I know for some reason.
Yeah, Neon Black. So we mentioned those two books, Kevin Bryans and Paul and Genko.
Oh, yeah.
Work on that, yeah.
That is some neat artwork there.
So, he mentioned those saying, you know, kind of saying on par and all this kind of, you know, like kind of, sort of saying these are great books, this is just as good, get this, you know, that kind of, right? So it's one of those sort of things. And so he told me about it, and he kept saying, you got to check it out, man. You'd love this book. And from my scene, it looked really cool. So I ended up, of course, supporting Kickstarter. And actually, he supported our Kickstarter. And he actually said that he's been looking forward to stuff. So,
I've always said about some of your artwork is that it reminds me of Mobius.
Come again? Sorry?
It's one of the things I've mentioned frequently about your artwork, especially on your cover, is it reminds me of Mobius.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I always find that incredibly complimentary. And yes, he's been an influence. And he's one of my favorite all-time artists. But on that note, I was also introduced to Mobius because people kept saying my work looked like his. So yes. Even before I knew who he was, people were comparing me to Mobius, and I got introduced. But it's kind of a funny. And I kept going, really? Yeah. Okay, I'll check it out. You know. And when I did, it's interesting because the first thing I saw by Mobius, he like myself played with different styles.
Yes.
At the time, I was doing very detailed stuff that was closer, I'll just say, closer to Arzak. That's the stuff that people are probably comparing me more to. Because I was into that at the time, even though I changed my styles, that's what I was doing at the time. The first thing I saw by him was something that was very, very simplistic, simple line, beautifully elegant, but simple line. And I understood why people liked it, but I didn't see the comparison. And I thought, yeah, this is pretty good stuff. I don't necessarily love it, but it's good stuff. I don't totally see the comparison. And then not long after, a friend of mine was looking at an issue filled with Arzak of a Mobius book. And I was like, oh my God, who is that? That stuff looks amazing. What was the guy we were talking about? This is Mobius. I was like, what? And then I realized he also played with different styles.
Yes.
And right away, I loved it. Like, I was just like, this is genius. This is amazing. This is wow. Well, you know, whatever. And I went out and bought tons of Mobius books, including that simple one that all of a sudden looked completely different to me after I saw where he was coming from and his experimentation. And now down to a simple, I mean, even I played with simple stuff before that, but I was, at the time, I was into like very detailed stuff. So that's why, you know, that's why it didn't hit me right away. But after seeing all this other stuff and how he did experiment and going from his incredibly detailed to incredibly simple, I love it all. Like, I think he's absolute genius, brilliant, beautiful work. And again, someone who's left quite a legacy. I will concur with that. Yeah, amazing, amazing work and amazing stuff that he's done for film. Now,
have you ever seen Jodorowsky's Dune?
Yes, the
the wonderful's like, what the hell are they doing with it? Oh my God.
Yeah, the movie that never was.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That, you're talking about the documentary, right?
Yes.
Incredible.
Mobius did all the concept art in that.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Now with the advent of computer animation and all that, it'd be so amazing if someone one day, even though we'll be getting a new Dune that looks pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It actually looks a little inspired by it. Yeah, it does. But it actually looks a little inspired by the David Lynch Dune to me, which I absolutely love, so I'm happy it is. Like, it looks like, it almost looks like, let's expand on that, let's build on that kind of feel almost. And I wouldn't be surprised, and it turns out that he is. I wouldn't be surprised if this director, seeing his other work, probably was a fan of David Lynch and his Dune anyway.
Weirding Way as being a sound weapon.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not in the book. Is that correct? That's like new.
That was just for the David Lynch movie to simplify things.
Yeah. Then probably not. Then probably. Yeah. He probably won't be doing that. That'd be interesting if he did, but probably not. I'm looking really forward to that. It looks pretty awesome. But
Hopefully we can see it in theaters.
Sorry?
Hopefully we can see it in theaters.
Yes. Uh-huh. That would be crazy and amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Things will change as they will.
We can wait and hopefully things, that would be cool actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
See something like that. But yeah, so what I was saying was, it'd be awesome if one day someone did a Dune based on Jodorowsky's Dune. Like, I mean, if he could do it, I mean, but
it would be crazy.
It would be crazy. And so, like, using all those designs, like, literally make it look as close to what he was envisioning.
Mm-hmm.
Get actors that are reminiscent, or heck, with the way technology's going,
deepfake technology.
Yeah, you can get someone who looks enough like Orson Welles, and then you use deepfake, make it look exactly like Orson Welles. Yeah. They're actually working on voice. They're also working on voice technology that can emulate voices of people, so you get the actor saying the words, but then it changes to Orson Welles' voice.
Yep.
And it goes
and
on
Geiger's
and on.
Geiger's
so
designs?
Yeah, Geiger's designs. Yep. Mobius's plethora. Supposedly, he did thousands of designs.
It's 190,000 pages or something crazy. It's not 190,000 pages. It's just like maybe 1,900 pages or whatever. And this huge book is about 4 inches thick.
Well, I'm not surprised. If I remember correctly, I think I heard that Mobius did like, I heard like 2,000 designs for it.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
He
but
did
I,
like the whole
I
book.
Remember the one. Yeah. Was that right?
He did like the whole book. Like the entire
book.
Well,
I know other people.
All of the art layout.
There was but there was other artists who did design stuff. Like you were saying that.
Yeah.
But he was the main artist, so he was.
He basically did the book as a what the hell's the word escaping me? Where the
storyboard comic?
Storyboard, yeah. He did it as a storyboard, the entire thing.
Wow, that's crazy. They got to do something with that, or maybe they're not because Jodorowsky's going. I'm doing it next year.
Yeah.
We should release this as a big hardbound book. Wait, maybe it's not. No,
he can't because he doesn't have rights to it.
Yeah, I'm doing the movie next year.
Ah, no, he's not. But it's sad, because that movie was cool, the documentary.
Yeah, no, I agree. It'd be a pretty freaky-looking movie, I think, now if they did it, but it'd be interesting if someone did for that reason. It would just be crazy, sure. And if I don't know if a full script existed for it, like his script, I don't know. I'm just curious.
His script was insane.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you read it?
Well, they explain some of it through the movie, through the documentary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like all these different elements, and it's like, what? Yeah, yeah. This is not in the book.
Yeah, yeah. I'm starting to remember there was some weird, like really weird stuff. But
yes, Duke Leto was a eunuch. So how did he have kids? Oh, it was a spontaneous thing between whatever. It's like, okay.
No, that's the
interesting
that
stuff.
Yeah. Who knows? Yep. Maybe some of the concepts might be weird, but I don't know. At least visually, there's some darn cool stuff. Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Moving on.
Still, yeah, moving
on. What else
on.
Do we have on the horizon from you?
Let's see. Well, there's.
Yuri's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I already mentioned that. Yuri's Kickstarter will be coming up next few months. Issue one and issue four.
Do I understand you won an award and Yuri did in regards to that?
Come again, sorry?
I understand you and Yuri won an award type thing in regards to that issue?
Yes, yes. Issue three, the last issue I worked on, we won third place for best comic of 2020 by the from the Sequential Magazine Awards. Yeah. So
I will insert clapping sounds later.
There we go.
Yes.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah. So you can mix mine in there with those.
Congratulations, both to you and Yuri. I think I said that on the Facebook pages when you guys both posted it.
Great. I believe so. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And it's pretty awesome. It's very humbling and very cool. Very awesome. So. Feeling good about that. So, and of course, issue four is on its way. I'm hoping to really get back on that heavily once this Kickstarter is done.
Nice.
And try to get it done in good enough time so it can come out in September or October. That's coming along. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm trying to think of anything else. I think that's about it. So, the main thing is we're getting into, 10 days. We've got 10 days left on the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And we're almost at that stretch goal.
Yeah. Do you have another stretch goal behind?
Yeah. Sorry?
Do you have another stretch goal after that one?
I'm not sure. we'll see once we hit it. There's really not, 10 days, I don't know.
How much more can you throw into it, right?
Yeah. And at this point, everyone will be getting a free print, and we don't. So it's one of those things where it's like,
nice.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. If we start getting a lot more pledges all of a sudden,
suddenly 5,000 people say buy this book. It's like, okay.
Well, then it'd be ridiculous not to offer something else. It'd be like, okay, everyone gets a free car.
I like that idea. That's a great idea. It might be about this big and maybe not on a piece of paper, but...
A drawing of a car.
And then a drawing of a car.
Yeah.
And it's just cool. It's got the
free car. Drawing. Very cool. So, do you have any advice for anybody else who is thinking about starting up their own Kickstarter or comic book or whatever in this matter?
I was about to make a joke. Don't!
I'll make the joke anyways, and then we'll go to the advice.
No.
Moment's died.
Nice. Yeah, no. I'm trying to think. What kind of advice? I guess just stick to it. Oh, here's good advice. Write people.
Say
every
like
day.
Oh, yes.
Write people every day, all day. It takes a lot of work, actually. You got to message people, let people know about it. And not just write people, post. Like post on your website. Make sure you've got, if you don't have a big Instagram or Facebook following, it doesn't have to be huge, but, reasonably, build that up first before you do your Kickstarter. But definitely make sure you have a lot of people you can contact, either directly, also join pages on Facebook that are interested in the same things you're interested in that would like something that you would do.
Facebook groups,
groups and pages, but groups maybe.
That let you post.
Yes, that's more important.
Yeah,
and post to those as well. So it's important to get the word out. That's number one. Otherwise, no one's going to know about it, right? So that's it's a matter of and we've never really except one time, but that didn't help much. But we've never used like these companies that try to promote you and all this stuff. So you can't do it without that.
No.
Yeah, we did one time for 1 week, for 7 days or whatever it was, run a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
And when you look at the analytics afterwards, it's like, what, 50 people saw it?
Yeah.
I can get more people looking at it posting on one group in one day, right? So
yes.
And
I'm willing to bet that once conventions open up again, you'll be able to actually just talk to people and get more interest.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, right? That helped. That really helped because we built up a – yeah, and we've already built up a fan base from conventions. Like some of the people who are supporting a Kickstarter are people we actually met at conventions, spoke to personally. People are already fans of our stuff. They're fans of my work and our comics. And Yeah. Did I mention that? I did, right? I mentioned that Renee inked one of the prints.
Yes, you did.
And we got the print number one. In the set.
Yeah.
There's
Renee
a set
does
of
some other stuff too, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's an editor, production assistant. He helps with like so much of the background work. It's crazy. Thank you so much, Renee.
That's awesome. That's what I do.
So yeah, and the PDFs.
Ready for printing.
Ready for printing. All that kind of stuff. Like this just a lot of stuff that I'm not as good at. So he's really great at and does a lot of work.
Now for the random person,
even actually on the book, he actually did some coloring assists as well.
Ooh.
So. On a couple of the one, mainly one story and a little bit of just on a page on one. It's Stratum.
Mm-hmm.
The story Stratum in the book, the graphic novel, he actually does flats on like what, 5-6 pages?
Most excellent.
So that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, it's a short story amongst other short stories. And of course, the book is also available on the Kickstarter. So if you want more comics, you get issue 0 of 0 Point plus the book. So then you get more of my comic work. And the book is short stories that also includes a story I did for Heavy Metal Magazine republished. Also, what's available is the art book, which is a sci-fi design, the fantastic works of George Todorovsky is the title. And also, what else do we have? We have the coloring book, which is pretty awesome. Which is the sci-fi coloring book. So it's very much sci-fi themes across the board for this.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
Vince, the originals are already gone.
Yeah, I think all the originals, except for one.
Oh.
All the original art on the Kickstarter has been sold out except for one. And the one that hasn't sold yet, it was just added like recently.
Yeah.
So
we
decided to add another because they sold out so quick, right? So
nice.
It's there if anybody wants to get it. It's page, it's one of the pages from the interior arc. I work on different size pages for every page, basically almost. Like I work from 8.5 by 11, which this one is actually, for the single page ones, and then to like 14 inches high and stuff. I don't know. If it's a double page spread, a lot wider.
70 by 40.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But so each one's different size, and the cover, of course, is larger. They all vary in size and stuff. So just let people know who are buying original artwork. It does say the size on it. You know.
Size does matter. I've heard.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've heard that too.
So for the quick random people who are not very familiar with where to how to find you, where can they find you?
Okay.
And I don't
so we
mean
got
your basement or your house.
Yeah.
So Instagram .com/GeorgeTodorovs. That's without the KI, so it's TODOROVS. George Todorovs. Yeah, that was just the last thing. Facebook, of course. I don't know. I should just give you links you can put on your
I'll have links on the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool. There's also my Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, and definitely check out my YouTube channels.
Yeah.
My YouTube channel, sorry. I just put everything on one channel. Some people say it's better to separate stuff. So basically you'll get everything from me drawing and playing music, my band, which is Renee's part of, the drummer, to doing voices now. I've got George Does Voices. It's something I've always kind of done for fun just to get my friends to laugh from time to time. But I never thought about doing anything with it, but recently I thought about it, and coincidentally, two of my friends were mentioning it around the same time. I thought, that's kind of weird. Like, my friend Chris, Chris Hatopoulos, co-creator of The Bear Stories, which is not part of this Kickstarter, but you can get it on, which will give you that link too. It's still available on our
Square site. It's elsamedia.com, and then from there you can link to our store.
Yeah, so so we'll give you the link to that as well, to our store.
That he's telling you to do the voices, yeah.
So he brought up that to do the voice of the Taxi Time. I was thinking I should, so that sort of confirmed it for me. Then another friend of mine mentioned something like that as well, my friend Kevin. So basically I said, let's just do it. So I did a couple, and then when the Kickstarter, when the Kickstarter happened, I went, well, let's do it for the Kickstarter too. And it's been getting some pretty good reactions. A lot of people laugh.
Nice.
I like to make people laugh sometimes. So that's good.
Making people laugh is a good important part.
Absolutely.
So let's wrap it up. It's George, Renee, thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it tremendously. I'm hoping you do very good with the Kickstarter and everything else.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having us. This was a great chat.
It's always great having you guys, because you can talk. And that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I can just sit back and not do much of anything and say, yeah, just let him talk. He'll talk. It's all good. I like that in an interview guest. It's always important.
Well, there you go. I make it easy for you, I guess.
Exactly. So everybody in the chat room, everybody else listening on the various streams, thank you one again for joining us again. Come back again every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every time, every way, check it out on the Instagram, check it out on Facebook, check it out. Hey, I should do TikTok soon. On everything else that's out there, just do it and be the best zombie you can be. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Take care.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have appeared.